4DJ, that'd be a mobile.
This is KD2BNG mobile.
It's a little chilly outside. You been out today?
Coming out now. I didn't even bother to take a jacket with me, though. It's only maybe in the low 60s.
Out earlier, not in a vehicle, just out in New York. And it was kind of cool, so I got a sweatshirt. Because it is chilly out here. Won't need the air conditioner in the car today.
Okay, I haven't run air conditioning in a week or two. Okay, so somehow it's kind of an abrupt change we always get around here between summer and winter. You go through maybe 2 weeks of autumn, and then all of a sudden you're getting, you know, much cooler temperatures.
Yeah, the Indian summer after the first cold snap, so it should warm up again before it commits to getting cold. But it's kind of nice to feel the temperature change. But you know what's coming. I mean, you know during the spring that the summer heat's going to come. You know during the fall that the winter cold's going to come. I prefer the summer heat to the winter cold.
In reverse, I think I'd probably rather deal with the cold. You know, you can always put more clothing on, but at some point it becomes socially unacceptable to do the reverse.
Well, you got a point there. That is true. But if you run air conditioner, it's keep you pretty well reasonably cool unless you're outside. If you're out and about, then yeah, you're right. You can only go so far. B4B, that's a good way to put it. Socially unacceptable. W4DJW.
Well, let's see. I've never had central heating in that place. I mean, central AC. And central heating went out after one or two summers because, you know, little furry mountain lions got into the system. What's your mountain lions? You know, I've got an entire herd of them by now. There's like 6 or 8 cats that look at me every morning and say, feed me.
Oh, kitty cats. Okay, yeah. Those things are kind of like rabbits if you don't keep an eye on them.
Started with one. And now, let's see, yesterday I go into the bedroom and I see there's like 3 generations lying on the bed. You know, mama cat, daughter cat, granddaughter cat. So, I really should have been doing something about them all this time.
Outdoor cats. But we didn't happen to get one that was, you know, they got to have the personality to be indoor, outdoor. It can't just any of them. Like the one we got now is a rescue. And when she's outside, she's like walking on her tippy toes and takes a step and looks 360 degrees and takes a step and looks. She's just not an outdoor cat. And I like the outdoor cats a lot better than the indoor cats. But she is what we've got, so we deal with it. But the indoor-outdoor cats, there's no cleaning of a litter box. There's no, I mean, they're just no trouble. They're not as hard to take care of as a dog. But the indoor-only cats, oh, they're a whole lot harder to take care of than a dog.
Same way, I don't encourage them to be outdoor cats. There's always a window open they can come in through. But, you know, I don't encourage them to be indoor cats either. So there's no litter box inside, and there's generally no food inside. In fact, they know they only ever get fed outside. So if you want them to leave, the fastest way is just open the front door. Oh, look, it's feeding time. So, yeah, you know, the cat lovers will tell you, oh, don't have them outdoor cats. It's cruel to them. Yeah, well, you know, I'm not preventing them from being indoor cats.
Yeah, I had one that had some Maine Coon in it, and those are big-boned cats. They're big, and they've got a personality that's unlike like normal tabby cats. That's what I had that was a stray that came around and just hung around and turned into the best indoor-outdoor cat anybody could ever wish for. He brings snakes up to the copperheads or black snakes. I hated when he killed a black snake, but he did it. He'd bring it half-eaten squirrels just from their waist down was all that was left. I don't know how he ate the head, but he did. He was a great cat, but something happened to him. He was indoor, outdoor, and, you know, one of the, I don't know if he got hit by a car or if a snake, you know, a snake bite, but he stayed in the house. We took him to the vet. The vet says you couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, just comfort him as much as we could. One day he was laying around inside and he was lethargic, and I thought he was going to die any day. And he just stood up when the door opened and he bolted through that door, and I never saw him again. Hated that, but lost that cat. And I was trying to find a Maine Coon to replace him with when my wife came up with this rescue cat. That is the biggest pain of a cat you can imagine.
You're losing your signal, but yeah, the cat I had that was like that was a Maine Coon, which is very, very large. If it was Maine Coons, if they were much bigger, it'd be bobcats. They're about the size of a Norwegian, which is the other breed they kind of look like. And he was an indoor-outdoor cat, and, you know, generally no trouble at all. But, and they, yeah, and they're very, very friendly, and they make this kind of trilling or cooing noise that's hard to describe. It's almost like they sing to you.
Last time I ever saw a Maine Coon cat, I was up in Wisconsin at my wife's aunt and uncle's house. We were sitting on the couch, and in walks these two lions. They were skinny. They were tall, skinny lions. But sitting down on the couch, they'll walk up to you and look at you eyeball to eyeball when you're sitting on the couch. And their feet are on the floor. I've always been impressed with Maine Coons since then. But their hair is probably a really big, I mean, they got some long, long hair, and it sheds a lot.
Them pretty much every day. Pretty much any ordinary hairbrush. I mean, the steel bristle hairbrush, maybe, but I would just use the nylon bristle hairbrush. And Brutus would love that. He'd come running over to me whenever I picked up the brush. But look, the big petting stick.
With the lint brushes, and the lint brushes just kind of cling onto her hair, so she likes that. And the back scratcher, she loves that. But I've got these rubber gloves that have spikes in them. They look like rose bush thorns, but they're made out of rubber, so they won't scratch you or anything like that. It's just a rubber rose bush thorn. And you put those gloves on, they're all over the inside of the hand, the palm of the gloves. And you put those on, I take her outside generally because it makes a big mess. But you put those on and you just pet her. And hairballs just start flying everywhere. The front yard, it looks like it's snowed cat hair.
For the hair, they're my favorite breed. If I could ever find another one, I'd probably adopt it.
I was looking when this one showed up as a rescue. The same way as you. That's what I was wanting next. Because it was a joy to have a Maine Coon around. The other ones, not so much.
Occasionally challenged as you think they are, you didn't think they'd make good hunters. But they'll actually hunt birds, mice, rats, pretty much anything. And I've seen them leap straight in the air, like 6 feet in the air, and grab a bird that was, just happened to be flying by. And
he was so long. When I got home from Charlotte, I used to drive, when we had him, I was driving back and forth to Charlotte. When I get home in the car, he'd walk up to the driver's side door, stand on his back legs, and put his front paws on the driver's side window and look at me, look in my window, eyeball to eyeball to him. That's just the coolest thing. And when he wanted, he had a really long, slanky back. And when he wanted to, like he was going after a bird like that, or a mouse, or a snake, or whatever it was, he'd be on one side of the backyard, and he'd just bolt across the backyard. And he'd probably touch the backyard in three places, and he'd be all the way on the other side of the backyard. His paws only hit, like, on three spots in the whole backyard, and he'd be on the other side of the backyard. And he'd go up a tree vertical as fast as he would go across the backyard. But he coming down the tree, that's another story. He had a hard time getting down the tree. He'd go up it like a lightning bolt, but coming down it, he's like very indecisive about where to put his paws.
True of pretty much any cat. It's easy for them to climb. It's hard to get down. That's why they're very, very hesitant to get down. Nature made them good climbers, but not so much good, that's why they'll get stuck in trees.
uphill one day, and there's one guy that flies all the time. He's always out there. And he said somebody asked him yesterday if he's going to be out at the airfield, and he asked them if the squirrel had a climbing gear. So the answer was yes. That cat reminded me of that cat, because that cat had a climbing gear, but it did not have a reverse. he couldn't figure out how to back down the way he came up. He tried to go down head first, and he put his paw down. No, that's not a good place. Pick it up, put it somewhere else. No, that's not a good place. And just keep on and on and on. Anyway, he's a fantastic cat. I hate he's gone. Might get a Maine Coon again one day, but who knows? I don't know. Those people that you can buy them from, if you can't find one that's free, they make you sign something that says you won't let them be an indoor-outdoor cat. I just don't know if I can do that. I want an indoor-outdoor cat. They're a cool cat.
There you go, because I have pretty much no reception on you at this point. Back in Clinton, I'm in the dead zone here. So I'll talk to you later. One day soon, maybe I'll get back on the net. But, okay, W40HWKD2BNG, 73s, and we'll talk to you later. Because, I've got no reception on you right now. So take care.
Okay, Glenn. It could be on my side, too, but you're sounding really good. I'm in Taylor's, and you're sounding good on the repeater soon. That might be my issue because of where I am. I could be in a shadow. Anyway, good talking to you. Katie 2BNG, W4DJW Mobile.